Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The Apostle Paul shifts gears here and he goes from warnings about the false teachers and teaching some doctrine about those that would be in leadership in the church. And now he gets personal. And he starts talking about various groups of people in the church and what's expected of them. It's interesting, he starts out with the older men. Because, of course, the men are to be the leaders. Leaders over other men, leaders over all in the congregation if they're in a leadership position, leaders in the home. And so Paul started with the older men, and then he also spoke to the older women in the church who are vital and important. And like the men, older men are to be honored, esteemed. He talks to the younger women and the young men in the church, and even talks to the bondservants, which today, the equivalent today would be the employer-employee relationships. Paul here instructs Titus to teach what the various age groups' responsibilities are, their duties in the church and at home, as well as in the community. And he emphasizes, as is always the case, healthy doctrine at the forefront of it all. Healthy teaching, healthy doctrine, the word of God to be preeminent. And of course, the word of God is truth that promotes and produces spiritual well-being. So Paul stresses how we can be more effective, not only in living our lives, but also more effective as witnesses for the Lord as well. So beginning with verse number 1, let's look at verses 1 and 2 first. It talk about just two scriptures that talk about the older men. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And really, that applies to all. So there's just one scripture, actually, that applies directly here to the elder men of the church. That the aged men be sober, be grave, be temperate, be sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Father, we ask that you would add again your blessing to the reading of your word. Lord, we understand that without the word of God, there's nothing really to say that's of eternal significance. So, Heavenly Father, please use me for your glory. I am but your servant. You have prepared the meal, and I'm to serve it. Help me, Lord, to do it well, to do it clearly, that those that are hearing will understand and apply, and, Lord, be benefited greatly through the teaching and preaching of your blessed word. We ask, Lord, if there's one here unsaved, that today would be the day of salvation for that one. And we pray, Lord, for that Christian that's struggling, maybe is out of fellowship with you, maybe is allowed the cares of this world, of this life, to get in the way, where priorities are out of order and the heart is no longer on fire for you. Lord, rekindle the flames. As we sang a little while ago about revival, Lord, revive us again, that we would draw ever near to you in these last days of the last days. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In Job chapter 12, in verse number 12, the Bible says, with the ancient is wisdom. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. Now, what should be true is when someone gets older, they get wiser. Would you agree with that? We're talking to Christians. We're not talking about the wisdom of this world. The only one that can be wise in the eyes of Almighty God is a man or a woman who is born again. So we're talking here first to men that are born again believers, new creations in Christ. And some of you, as myself, have been saved for decades. And so a man that's been saved for decades should be distinctly different from, number one, a man that's not saved, but secondly, a man who is saved, who has not longed to be more like Christ throughout their Christian experience. I know a lot of men up in years that have been saved a long time that greatly lack wisdom. And that's not God's fault. It's not that that person's not smart enough. It had nothing to do with intelligence. It has to do with desire. Why is it that some men that are 70 or 80 years old are walking hand in hand with Jesus, concerned about the well-being spiritually of their families and those in the church and those even outside the church, having a desire to win others to Christ, and yet there are others that are 70, 80 years old, been saved for decades, at least professed to be saved for decades, and basically are all but dead spiritually? Did God fail them? So Paul made it clear that if the church is going to prosper, if souls are going to be saved, if people inside of the church are going to effectively minister one to another, it has to begin with men that are filled with the wisdom of God. Among other things that we're going to look at. Take your Bible, hold your place here in Titus, we'll be right back, but turn over to Ecclesiastes. You know the story of Ecclesiastes, right? Solomon went on a, kind of had a midlife crisis. And he decided he was going to try everything under the sun. He's going to try it all to find satisfaction and happiness in life. He said, you know, I'm going to put my mind, I'm going to put my heart to everything I can think of. And along the way, there's 12 chapters, and along the way, there were little bursts of light. And remember that Solomon is described as the wisest man that ever lived outside of Christ himself. But it shows how weak wisdom is with sin involved. Because Solomon ended up really messed up. He had a lot of wives, and he followed a lot of strange gods and false gods because he followed the ways of these wives and concubines. But along the way, there'd be little glimmers of light. But in chapter 12, he kind of brought it all together, okay? Often he would say after he tried something, this is vanity, vexation of spirit, this is empty, this is useless, there's no lasting value in this. Well, in the first three verses of chapter 12, he talks about old age. He talks about a long life. He said, chapter 12, verse 1, remember. Remember, listen to God and act accordingly is what he's saying. Follow truth. Like when God remembered Hannah, when she cried out for a child as she was barren, and God gave her Samuel. Here it means that we are to act decisively on behalf of the living God, realizing he is the one essential ingredient that we need to find real joy and purpose in life. Remember, now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Solomon is saying it's a whole lot better to start young. And to maintain that close walk with God, as a matter of fact, that it would grow and we would become more like our Savior. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So he's talking about the aging process, isn't he? He's talking about starting well, young, and continuing on. Because if we get away from God, he's not just talking about the fact that we live in evil days, but he's talking about how we bring evil upon ourselves through disobedience and lack of desire to follow our Lord. We don't trust him. And so we go our own way. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. While the sun, or some translations have and, the sun and the light, or the moon or the stars be or are not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. This is kind of a pretty fancy way of talking about mental aging. I can tell the difference. And it seems, as we get older, it seems to go a little quicker, doesn't it? I mean, time waits for no man, and we age physically and we age mentally, but we should not be aging spiritually unless you count that as becoming a little bit more like our Savior. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves. That's talking about, you know, when I was a young whippersnapper, you know, you stand up straight and you walk straight and you're strong. You shake somebody's hand and you got to be careful you don't squeeze it too hard because you got all that strength bottled up. And so you don't want to crush their hand like a fellow we had in the church down in Charlestown that he would, when he went to shake your hand, he put his hand out like this. And you grab that thing and it was, you know, the wet fish handshake. And you always, there's something in you that requires that you squeeze that hand a little tighter. It's called the flesh. You squeeze that. You know what I'm talking about? You've never done that, have you? But then we get older and we begin to stoop a little bit and we got aches and pain. You know what the grinders are in the KJV here in verse 3? That's the teeth. Teeth start wearing out and you get more trouble with your teeth. Though I was pleased when I went to dentist came in, you know, he does a final, you get the cleaning, which I started doing later in life. I didn't do it for decades, but then I thought, you know, I only get one set. And so I probably should start taking care of them a little bit. I mean, I always took care of my teeth. My dad was a stickler on that. Brushing and flossing wasn't a thing back then, but man, he had his brush, and he didn't mean like going to wet your toothbrush and put it back in the rack, and so when he would feel it, it would feel wet, like my youngest daughter used to do, and she'd come out and I'd smell her breath, about knock me over. I'd say, now go back in there, and this time use toothpaste, not poop paste. I had a real sense of humor as a father, but that's what I told her, and it worked. She would brush her teeth. But our grinders begin to wear out, and I was saying the dentist came and said, man, that's quite a set of choppers you got there. I thought that was good because, you know, I am kind of ancient. Still got some teeth. He talks about the grinders ceasing because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be not dark. It kind of reminds me of that joke. You remember that joke? I don't tell many jokes in the pulpit, but I'm not here to joke around, but it's so fitting. It might nail the point a little bit more. You know why they don't call it let me back up. That's why I don't tell jokes. You know why we know the toothbrush was not invented in West Virginia? I know this is old as the hills. You know why, right? Because it's called the toothbrush, not the teeth brush. Does that make sense? I think I got it backward. But anyway, you get the point. All right, let's move on and get back in the Word where I feel safer. So old age, according to Solomon here, can become depressing and hopeless. There's a lot of talk. Like when I go to Dr. Hashem, he begins, they're required to do this now, wanting to know whether I'm depressed or not. How many of you have had that happen at your doctor's office? You start asking, yeah, they want to know, are you suicidal? You know, are you going to hurt yourself? And And so he'll ask those kinds of questions because there are a lot of seniors and others, but seniors as well, that go through life and become more and more hopeless. And I think part of the problem, this is just my opinion, I'm not a doctor and not a psychologist, but I do believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I think we can find some things in that apply to this. One thing that is really a big deal in our society, I mean a big deal, is retirement. Retirement. I mean, we talk about retirement. I remember I was 25 standing in a line of Bridgeport milling machines, working on the machine. I was just 25, and I looked at the guy next to me, and I said, just think 40 years we can retire. So even at 25, I was thinking about retirement. My dad retired at 60 years old. He was a Teamster. 60 years old, he retired, and he lived for 22 and a half years after retirement. And you know what he accomplished in 22 and a half years? Anybody want to guess? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He spent his days, he got up early, went to bed very early, got up very early in the morning. He had his routine. He would eat a little bowl of cereal after being up an hour. So he'd have a cup of coffee, drink a little, smoke a cigar, eat a little bit of cereal with some fruit on it. And he would watch the game shows in the morning, repeats in the afternoon, and watch a couple of game shows like Wheel of Fortune in the evening. And then he would go to bed very early, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, and get up at 5, 5:30 the next morning and do the same thing again. And occasionally, until his heart started giving, he had one episode with his heart at 70 years old. He had that taken care of. He had an aneurysm that was ready to burst, but it didn't, hallelujah. But anyway, when I look back, and I think to myself, I said, man, I don't want that to be me. Where basically just waste the last 20 years of your life. Now, that's not even the point I want to make. The point I want to make is we also have a mentality of retiring from God. I've served the Lord now for years, and it's time for me to retire. Now, I know that physically we can't do what we always did. So what we do for God might change. It may not be the same as it used to be, but retiring from God is not an option unless we are absolutely not able to even pray. Now, if we're at the point where we can't even pray, then, I mean, we're pretty close to death, aren't we? So Paul is saying to the older men, look, your life is not over. And you are to be looked up to because you are to be leaders in the church. Young people should be able to look to you for guidance and strength because you've lived through a whole lot and experienced a whole lot. And as a child of God, we should not be the ones that become disillusioned and depressed in advanced age and less satisfied with life. Sometimes we get to the point because we're not active in the church and we're not, of course, we're retired, we now feel like we're not important anymore. But we bring that upon ourselves. So a senior saint, let me give you some things that we men and any senior saint and anybody, really, when you come down to it. Number one, we should love God more. As we get older, we ought to love God more. Why? Because we should also know Him better. As we go through life and we go through the hardships and we see the hand of God and we see the purposes of God and we see prayers answered and we see God intervene in times of hopelessness and sorrow and despair and God holds us up and God carries us along, because we see His hand at work and we know Him better, we should love Him more. To know God is to love God. Secondly, our love for God's people and God's church should grow. I think that's gone backward as time goes on. the love of God's people for others. I am convinced that most people, they can say it all they want. I don't see it in experience. I think we do not understand that the church is a family. I don't think most of us get it. And we should love each other like we do our families. I love the church. Cut me, I bleed local church. It's still red, but it's local church. I love the church. Life without the church would be, as a matter of fact, the church, and I'm talking to you specifically now, not the universal church, but the church. My people got me through the loss of my wife just as much as my blood family did. Looking forward to meeting with you and teaching and preaching and fellowshipping keeps me going even now. Because living alone, it might be days before I really even talk to anybody. Because we do a lot of texting, you know? That's not really talking to anybody, is it? Not really. But I think our love for God's people and God's church should grow stronger. And I still see, I better not say it, I'm going to get in trouble because it's getting too pointed. We got a small group and it'd be too easy to figure out who I'm talking about. So best thing to do in that case is? Excellent. You've been around a while, haven't you, brother? Yes. Number three, we should grow in our appreciation for God. This is Thanksgiving week. We as Christians love and appreciate God all the time. But we gather together and hopefully our families, as we gather together, all understand that what we have and enjoy are gifts from God. All of those come from above, from the Father of lights. We deserve nothing. You might say, well, I work really hard and so I buy the groceries. Yeah, but if God didn't give you the economy, if God didn't give you the health, if God didn't give you the mental capacity, you'd be sitting in a corner doing this. Right? It all falls back on our God who is good. God, as we grow older and we see the hand of God and we're blessed by God and our needs are met. I've been a Christian since January 1977 and God has never, not one time, failed to provide for my family. Not one time. Times got very hard. Things got very lean. Had to make some hard choices. But you know what? God always provided. And when I was in Bible college, the way he did it is I had to work more. God gave me, in the midst of a Jimmy Carter recession, our machine shop was exploding in growth. I could work all the hours that I could muster while I was in college. And I was young then, so it was pretty incredible. And I think about God giving me the strength to go to school full-time and work full-time and work overtime. And on top of the overtime, able to do some side work. The boss had so much work, he'd bring out a blueprint, throw it down on the table, and say, give me a price of what you'll do these for. I'll provide the material. I'll provide the tooling, of course. You make the parts. How much will you do them for? And I made some good money back in the late 70s and early 80s. And then I taught machine shop in two places part-time in my spare time. And I had a family. So did it all together. How did I do that? How could I do all that? Anybody ever hear of God? Anybody ever hear of Barbara? It was God and Barbara. That's what got me through those four very difficult, long years. So we should grow in our appreciation for God who takes care of us. And he's done it for all of these years and for the many blessings of life. And we ought to exude that for the younger folk. If they see all of us old geezers walking around with our heads hung low and moaning and groaning about how hard it is and how everything hurts in our bodies, and we never show any appreciation for our God and all that he does for us and all he's given us, why would they want to follow closely along with that God? Number four, we should thank God for the privilege of having been able to serve him for all these years. Coffee made a second trip. should thank God for the privilege of being able to serve him for all of these years. And then, of course, we should be eager for him to return and receive us unto himself, eagerly awaiting the day when we will be with him. I want you to think about this. We haven't even got to the passage yet. This is all introduction. How old was Moses when God finally called him? He's 80 years old. Now, I know that you say, well, come on, Pastor. He was unique. Yeah, he was. I know he lived to be 120 years old. We don't live to be 120 years old anymore. And we know that God blessed him that his eyesight and his strength did not diminish at all till the day he died. But nonetheless, he was 80 when God called him and he delivered God's people out of bondage. But how about this guy? Here's one that lived a normal lifespan like we do. How many of you have heard of John Wesley? Well, John Wesley was 83 years old. At that point in his life, he had traveled over 250,000 miles by horseback, preaching and teaching the word of God. 250,000 miles. He had preached over 40,000 sermons. I sat down and tried to figure out how many sermons I've taught and preached. And maybe about 8,000. That's still a lot, isn't it? About 8,000. He did 40,000. And he wasn't finished yet. He had written at this point over 200 books and pamphlets. And at this point, at 83, after doing all of that, he was very disappointed in himself. He said, you know, I can only now sit for 15 hours and read and study and write without my eyes giving out. Back then, they had, you know, oil lamps and candles and whatever. Didn't have the lights we have. But he was very disappointed. At 83, he could only do it 15 hours a day. And then when he turned 86, he admitted, he said, you know, I'm getting really lazy. I've been staying in bed pretty often until 5:30 in the morning. Which shows what we can do if we want to do it. We use our age as an excuse. And so the older men and the older women that are to be teaching the younger, and I understand that the younger, in order to be taught, have to listen. And you might say, I've tried to do some. The best way for us to teach is by example, not by setting them down and preaching in their face, but to show them, demonstrate to them what a godly man or a godly woman looks like. In Leviticus chapter 19, and you don't have to turn to all these, I'm just going to read a few, because it talks about getting up in years and not time to give up. Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. The hoary head, KJV way of saying the gray head. And honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. So God expects an older saint, an older man, as well as an older woman, to be one that can be honored and esteemed. So, senior saint, look within your own life, your own heart. Are you one that, because of your walk with God, could be honored in this way? In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 31, Proverbs 16 and verse number 31, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole the hoary head, the gray head, here it is again, is a crown of glory. So again, we got to ask, is the gray head indeed the crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. And so there should be respect according to Solomon here in Proverbs 16:31. The gray head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So senior saint man, senior saint woman, brother and sister, does this describe us? Are we worthy of this honor? Are we found in the way? Are we worthy of this respect, being found in the way of righteousness? Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 18. Proverbs 4, verse number 18. But the path of the just, the righteous, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect, or the full day, the way of wisdom. Talking about the path of the believer should be one of increasing light, increasing growth, increasing wisdom. And then you can write down if you'd like, well, I'm close enough, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Psalm 92:14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat, I qualify, and flourishing. How do we do that? By abiding in Christ, understanding that as we grow weaker in the body, we should be growing stronger in the Lord. Our weakness in body is not an excuse to be weaker in spirit. We ought to grow stronger. And we know that age alone doesn't equate to godly wisdom, being more faithful or more satisfied or more effective in service. It has to do with our daily walk with our God and how surrendered we are to Him. So Paul sent a reminder to Titus and the church in Crete and to us. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, because the truth produces spiritual well-being. And the duty of all in the church is outlined here as pertains to our attitudes and actions in life. Older men are to be sober. And I think I'm going to stop right here. So I basically gave you some preliminary stuff. You had it's first time in a long time I've preached the introduction as the message. But it had a lot of scripture in it, did it not? Speak thou the things. And this is the kind of the launching verse for the whole section on aged men and women, senior saints, and those young women and young men, and the servants, bond servants, those that are employers, those that are employees. It's the scripture that says to Titus, Paul writing to Titus, speak thou the things which become sound or solid, healthy doctrine that produces spiritual well-being, that which is fitting for good spiritual health. Speak these things. And that's what we're going to look at next time. Lord Tears is coming, and I don't die from a mass consumption of turkey. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for Titus. Thank you for Paul writing to him. And we thank you for the truth of your word, the power of Scripture. And Father, help us that are seniors, to be mindful of not only the fact that others are watching and listening, but Lord, help us to be one that is willing to take the younger under our wings and seek to help them along the way, to not only demonstrate wisdom, demonstrate knowledge, but to also take them aside and do some teaching. Father, I know sometimes we give up too soon. We think we're finished, or we think you're finished with us. And when we have that mentality, we tend to get depressed, kind of discouraged, maybe even not feeling very valuable. But Lord, in your eyes, we are. Help us, Lord, to understand that maybe we need you a little bit more than ever, since we're physically getting weaker. Lord, we need to lean upon you just that much more. Father, if there's one here unsaved this morning, Lord, please bring them during the invitation. Some that maybe you'd have to be a part of this family. Lord, direct those hearts and those minds to you, to this church, if that be your will. So bless this invitation. May the need of every heart be met in Christ through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.